Welcome to the Change Your World Virtual Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the fabulous Ms. Linda Larson-Schlitz. Linda, why don't you take it from here?
Thanks, Tanya. Wow, what a day. I think we got messed up on our daylight savings times in Wisconsin because I was an hour off. So I hope there wasn't anybody waiting too long for me, but I am really grateful to be here today and glad to be able to share my heart again like I have for the last year and a half as Tanya has given us this wonderful opportunity to be able to do what we do, which is to change the world. And I love that saying because that is what I believe each and every one of us are on this earth to do, that God has given us our skills, abilities, talents, passions, interests, so that we can use them and we can make a difference in the world. Because if we're not doing what we are meant to do, we're not going to be happy. And I am sure there are people that are listening, either now or later, that have had a job that you were miserable, that have had a time when you just didn't want to do what you're doing. You didn't want to get up in the morning. And you didn't want to go and do what you had to do, but you had to do it because it paid the bills. And I saw somebody post yesterday, I am seeking a job that doesn't feel like work or something along those lines. And that's what I am doing right now, today. This isn't a job for me. This is my life. This is what I'm called to do. This is what I was born to do. And that is to impact change in the world. So I'm grateful if you're listening today. I'm assuming that you are on this, taking your time to make a change, whatever that might be. And this is a topic that is relatively controversial. The whole drunk driving, substance abuse, mental health, systems change, it definitely is a topic of major discussion with a lot of folks, and I just wrote a letter to the editor that I know is not going to go over well with a lot of people because the whole thing was dealing with mental health and substance abuse. There is such a stigma in our world today with the whole thing, and we talk about those people. Like those people are bad people that are doing things wrong and they're just immoral and they're just gone astray. Well, to some extent, maybe we have gone astray and I will include myself in that. And I think, again, for the majority of people in the United States, especially places like Wisconsin, the beer state, the cheese curd, can't have one without the other, nor can you have a bratwurst without beer. That's kind of expected. But we all have issues. It's, you know, 43% of people in the workplace these days have mental health or substance abuse issues. That's kind of a major number. So we can't keep talking about those people. And I am one of those, too, who drove drunk many times. Part of what I'm doing right now is kind of preparing for impaired driving awareness month, which is in December, and this is a huge problem that I really didn't even realize how big of a problem it was until I started doing a little bit of research on that, preparing for the systems change thing, and it really got started with Jason Breitenfeld, and I talked about him a couple of talks ago, if you want to go back. He was hit by a drunk driver a couple of years ago, and what a devastating thing. That's why the Mothers Against Drunk Driving got started, is because her daughter had been killed by a drunk driver, and it is very devastating. And the laws are very strange, the way that things are put together. The laws for helping people that have problems like mental health and substance abuse are very strange once you start looking at them. And so is the funding. Where the funding goes to help people is a very questionable thing at times. what I mean when I say that we all are created for different purposes, and without us doing what we need to be doing, the whole world is going to suffer. Because if you look at the impact that that one lady had with Mothers Against Drunk Driving, the number of drunk driving accidents since that time has been cut in half, in part by the advocacy of that group. That shows that one person can make a difference. And if you think about what has transpired in the world, everything that you're looking at, whatever you're listening to this presentation on, whether it's a computer or your phone or whatever, somebody created all that. A person, one person, had that vision, had that dream, had that idea that they went with. And they believed in it enough that they pushed through until they made it happen. So when I hear somebody say, oh, that'll never happen, I know that it's too big, there's too many people that would disagree, well, that's when I put on my but ophthalmologist hat and I try to convince them that sitting on your butt this and butt that, but what if people reject me, but what if people get upset, then nothing changes if nothing changes. You make a difference. I make a difference. I'm doing what I'm called to do today, to talk to you so you can do what you're called to do. Now, what is that? I can't tell you. All I can tell you is that I believe there's a God up there that has created you for that purpose. And if you're not listening, then you need to listen. If you don't know how, if you've never done that, if you don't even believe in God, well, that's okay too, because the one that I know, he's bigger than your doubts and your fears. And if you just say, if there's a God out there, show me, and trust me, he will show you that there is a God out there. And he does have a plan for you. Because like I said, if we're not doing that plan, people are miserable because they're just kind of floating through life, kind of going by everybody else's ideas and thoughts and rules and regulations and boxes that you get stuffed in. That's a big problem. And again, whether it's in school, whether it's at a job, whether it's in culture generally, think about it. Everything that happens to us, we're put in a box. What we wear, what we do, what kind of car we have. Somebody is constantly trying to form us and shape us and manipulate us and guilt trip us into doing what they think we should do. That's not going to work. It doesn't work for any of us. It doesn't work in relationships. It doesn't work in business. It doesn't work in school, because we're so unique that we've got to be treated uniquely. We have to draw out of people what they're gifted at. We've got to empower their dreams, because somebody gave them those dreams that was born in them. Now, sometimes we learn things like, oh, I want to be a famous drug dealer or a gangster. Now, those are learned behaviors, and those are not something that we were born with aspiring to, I don't believe. So hopefully, if I am able to do what my goal is, and I believe I'm called to do, my goal would be to start at such a young age that by the time a kid is a year or 2 years old, we're already identifying their giftedness and what they like and what they're good at, and you foster that. You foster that throughout school, and you look for what they can do and not for what they can't do, and you don't try to make them write cursive. Why? Why do we have to write cursive? Has anybody ever thought about that? Okay, I'm a bit off track to the topic to some extent, but then on the other hand, here's how it all ties together for me. With the whole substance abuse, mental illness, when you're trying to put somebody in a box and you're trying to make somebody something that they're not, they're miserable. And when they're miserable, they look for an escape. We look for escape. All of us do it. We all do it. babies, when they're cold, they look to get warm. When they're hungry, they look to get fed. That's human nature, that we look for ways to meet those needs and to quit feeling yucky. And when somebody is making us feel bad because we don't fit their criteria, we feel yucky. That's just human nature. So how do we change that? The whole system has got to change, one person at a time. But it starts with you, and it starts with me. If we don't change, nothing changes. If nothing changes, somebody's got to initiate change. Somebody's got to make the difference in the world, in your home, in your family. Think about how many times you praise your kids, or you were praised as a child if you don't have any children of your own. Studies show that you need to have 8 positives for every negative. Seriously? How many of us tell our kids how wonderful they are 8 times before we tell them what they're doing wrong? No, we got it backwards. We expect them to brush their teeth and comb their hair, and if they don't, we yell at them. These are learned behaviors. These are things that we respond way better to positive. So if you're saying, hey, good job on that, boy, you really did a nice job brushing your teeth, they're much more likely to do that than if you yell at them, because they don't. Then people get rebellious. Then they look for ways to escape. And we have taught our society that food, alcohol, and drugs are good ways to escape. So we do bad things to harm ourselves. And then we feel even worse about it in the mental illness that may not have been there, or that we may never have developed. A lot of people have mental illness that don't have a family history of it. And they have a mental illness because we as a society make people crazy. I'm not saying crazy in a negative way, because I have mental illness myself. And yes, some people would call me crazy. But the fact is, we have to find better solutions to the ones that we are presently living in, because these are not working. They're not working for anybody. So it does have to start with you. My letter to the editor, if you want to go on my webpage, you can either go to lindalarsonslips.com or faucetofhope.com. The letter to the editor I just wrote, and I am sending it to lots of people, is about making that change personally, so that we don't have problems like drunk driving that are killing people. Of the drunk driving accidents, 1 out of 3 of us will be involved in a drunk driving accident in our lifetime. Think about that. 1 out of 3 of us will be involved in a drunk driving accident in our lifetime. That's insane. Why is this happening? Why do we have people with 10, 12, 15 drunk driving? Why is this cycle not changing? Well, because our society isn't changing. We are getting way more accepting of, oh, well, that's just the way it is. That is a problem. We have this sense of learned helplessness. The same thing happens in this profession. Here we are, speakers. Here we are, teachers, educators, and we get this sense that, oh, nothing's ever going to work out for me. But again, nothing changes if nothing changes. And for this whole last year and a half since I met Tanya at the Lisa Sasevich thing, people have been telling me, you have to narrow your focus. You have to narrow your focus. And I'm not very good at narrowing my focus, but I finally figured out what my focus is. And it's still really broad, but my focus is helping people, helping our society change the way they look at mental health and substance abuse. Now, I've been in this speaker realm for, like I said, 1.5 years since I quit my job at the job center, and I turned over the role of this president, founder and president, CEO of a nonprofit organization that helped homeless and mentally ill folks and substance abusers that were coming out of jail and prison and treatment centers, and focusing on veterans. I stepped down from all of that so that I could do this larger reach, making a difference to the world by doing what I'm doing. The issue with it is that I haven't focused on the thing that I need to be focusing on, and I've kept it too broad so that I really can't have that kind of impact that I need to have. But I can't anyway because I need other people. I need to have folks like you all who are listening. And since I've been doing this, the majority of the people that are out here speaking, or that I've at least run into, are talking more about business, they're talking about speaking, they're talking about personal development to some extent, but I'm really getting some controversial issues that I want to see change. And I need help doing that. So if you are listening and you're someone who's been affected by substance abuse, mental health issues, some of these things, please, I really do want you to sign up for all the things. I've got all kinds of training coming up. I really want you to get involved, and I want to give you free stuff. So if you go to my website, I'll help you with that. But here's some of the controversial things that I'm suggesting people do. Think about how this might affect the drunk driving issue. Let's just talk about that because that's what's coming up here. What would happen if when people went into a bar or an event where there's going to be alcohol or your home, they had to agree to check their keys at the door if they came in a vehicle? Now, granted, how do you monitor if they came in a vehicle, whatever? Yeah, there's some glitches in my plan. But, I mean, if you know somebody came and they were driving a vehicle, then you take the keys. And if they drink, then very simple. You just give them a breathalyzer before they leave, and if they're below the legal limit, which in Wisconsin at least is a 0.08, I think it is nationwide, then you give them back their keys. Is that still safe? I don't think so. But the government has decided that's a safe level for people to be driving. So at least you've done your part, and you don't have somebody that is a 0.43 getting behind the wheel and driving. This is huge. Are taverns going to do this, and bars and restaurants? Of course, it's a crazy big goal. But if we personally don't make that change, nobody else is going to make that change either. So we've got the issue then with things like, what about if you have, okay, in Wisconsin again, and some other states think this is crazy. If there's other states listening, I'd be real curious to hear if your communities do this. But for example, our community has a Boys and Girls Club. Wonderful, wonderful charity. They do great work. But part of the problem is, at least it's a problem from some people's perspective, is that their fundraiser every year is wine and cheese, where you come and you do wine tasting and you have cheese and it's a nice event and people really enjoy it, in part because you get to drink wine all night. But I have to wonder, and I'll be honest, I've never been to the event myself, so I'm not trying to be judgmental here, but the fact is that if there are people that are at this event and they are drinking too much, which if you're an alcoholic, I can guarantee you, you're going to drink more than what you should be drinking, more than likely, because it's free. That's just the mentality we have. You can't pass up free. You know, when I was still drinking, you can't go have a pitcher of beer and leave something in the bottle or in the bottom of the pitcher. You've got to finish it. It's just irresponsible otherwise. I mean, it's crazy thinking. But this is a problem. It's a problem because then these folks are driving home. I know I was a member of the Chamber of Commerce, and I know these are the things that, oh, boy, you're going to step on people's toes. Yep, you're probably right. But if our norms in our society don't change, again, nothing else is going to change, and it's just going to continue to go downhill. So But they have a event, monthly event. It's a get-together networking group, live at 5 or something like that. And there's always lots of alcohol, lots of alcohol. They never run out of alcohol. I don't drink, haven't drank in 19 years. And I was real frustrated one time because there was lots of alcohol left, but there was no soda to drink. And they were, I think all they had was water. But it was like, what's wrong with this picture when we are sure to have tons of alcohol, but there's no other kinds of non-alcoholic options at some of these events? Some of them, you pay $50 to go to an event, and it's worth it if you drink all night, but it's definitely not worth it if all you get is a meal and a cup of coffee. So there's those kinds of changes. Are you involved with an organization that is like that, that makes those decisions to have these kinds of parties and do these kinds of events where it's really encouraging people to drive drunk? I mean, seriously, that's how I view it. That's how a lot of people. Churches are notorious up here for having big events, polka fests and things like that, where there's lots of alcohol available. People call it, and I really hadn't even heard of it, drinking for Jesus is what they call it up here, because you're helping the church by drinking. So that's how they view it. Now, that's a little bit twisted in my opinion, but people are taking what the norms are. But part of that problem is that our norms are not helping our society. We spend $199 billion a year on costs related to drunk driving. Is that insane or what? That doesn't even include all of the other things that happen with people with mental illness and substance abuse that are having issues that aren't driving drunk or don't end up in jail. There's still a lot of health problems and family problems and shootings and stabbings. And on my block, I'm in a beautiful place in Wausau, Wisconsin. Used to be one of the safest places. We've had two shootings 2 blocks away, and 1 block away we had 2 stabbings night before last. What's up with this? Drugs. That's what's up with it. Drugs. And everybody was under the influence when they did these things. So alcohol and drug abuse is a huge problem. That's why they've changed it to not drunk driving, but impaired driving, because so many more people are also self-medicating with pain medication or marijuana or other kinds of drugs. A lot of them are prescription drugs, many of them not their own prescription drugs. So there's a real problem. But what are we doing personally to make an impact, to change the way that our world is? Because it affects us. It affects us all. It affects our children. It affects our grandchildren. And yes, there is the DARE program, the Just Say No program. But you know what? Having a police officer come in and teach you to just say no doesn't work when mom and dad are doing it at home. When the family gatherings are all about alcohol. My husband just took a stand and said, no more alcohol in our house. We haven't drank for 19 years, but we have family members that drink, our kids, and not everybody's an alcoholic. It's not that the alcohol is bad for people who don't have an issue with it, but nevertheless, it can be an issue for a lot of people. And even if you don't have a chronic alcohol problem, a lot of people drink more than they should and then get behind the wheel. So what can we do individually, personally, to make those changes that are going to literally change the world? So what I'm doing is I have started to partner. This is another thing. If you're a speaker, if you're somebody who wants to make an impact, what I'm doing now, what Tanya gives us an opportunity to do every month and several other times throughout the month by being on her blab or her, you know, TV show, whatever. This is a product now. What Tanya has done here through the Public Speakers Association, has given me an opportunity to record this event, and now I am doing what I long to do, and I have a product that is available for people that I can direct them to. You want to hear me as a speaker? Here you go. Go to this website. We can download them. I can put it on my own website, and people can hear what kind of speaker I am. They can hear what my passion is. They can hear whether or not they want someone so controversial in their place of business to upset the apple cart. A lot of people need people who do what I do. But on the other hand, other people have different passions. So whatever your passion is, whatever you feel called to do, you can do it just by getting involved in events like this. And what I've put together now, I'm partnering with North Central Technical College here in Wausau. They have been very open to this because they are taking their show on the road, and they are, I apologize, I'm getting a phone call coming in. They are taking their training on the road, more or less. You can get alcohol and drug counseling certification or a human services certification or an associate degree at home, wherever you are in the world. You can do that through North Central Technical College, and they've got excellent classes. Their human services program, I was on the original board for them, and their program is actually my graduate college class textbook. So it's really a quality program. But we are partnering, and every month I am doing an all-day summit like this one for people on systems change. And you can dial in from anywhere in the world, and it is going to cost some. But for community members, it's $35 to dial in, and we have got excellent speakers from all over the world, people with master's degrees, doctors, PhDs, legislators. I just talked to Sean Duffy's office today. I think he's going to be there on December 8th. Anybody can do these kinds of things. Anybody can hook up with me, call me, hey, you want to be a speaker? You want to be a trainer? You want to be someone that is starting this kind of thing in your area? You want to bring my show to your area? We can do that without me even coming there. So it'll save the expense. It's just an amazing opportunity to make an impact in the world. And that's my goal. That's my goal for you, is for you to make that impact as well. To make that impact in your own home, in your own community, and in the world, because we need you. Whatever your skills are, and if you don't know what they are, that's what I do. So come to my website, faucetofhope.com, and hook up with me. Let me know that you're interested in working with me. I will give you a free strategy session that I'm more than happy to spend time with you, an hour with you, and talk about what your gift is, what you're interested in, and how we can put it together. Now, I just did a summit a couple weeks ago on ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, because that's my gift. And since then, I've had 6 people sign up for strategy sessions, and it is so exciting because as a professional butt ophthalmologist, my goal is to help people get off those excuses that they make for why they can't do what they think they can't do. And that's just baloney. If you're passionate about doing something, doing opera and working as a nursing assistant, how do you put those two together? Music is healing. Music is healing. There is lots of ways to put those together. So that's what I try to help people, is to think outside the box as to how can you really do what you want to do and get paid for it. So that's my goal. And what I'm doing, if you go to my website, you're going to see the Hope Store, Faucet of Hope Store. That is going to be an opportunity for people to do whatever their craft or gift or music or art, and put it on there, and I will market and sell it for them. I'm just getting that started, so there's not much on there. But that's what I'm doing so that people have the opportunity to do what they love, make that impact, and change the world by making it healthier, safer, and all of these things. So I'm very grateful for this opportunity to talk to you today and to share my heart. And I do hope that we can connect and you can be a part of this systems change that we so desperately need. Thank you for listening. And Tanya, I'm going to turn it back to you.